Good evening, and thanks for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time with JB and Double T right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. I am flying solo tonight. Double T here in the studio, 20 East High Street in downtown Lawrenceburg. JB unable to be with me tonight, but that doesn't mean that there's not plenty to talk about, and I have gotten through a 30-minute show by myself before, so let's jump right into it here. And I want to start off with a sad story. I hate to start off this way, but we had some local high school football coaches, football programs, schools that did a really cool thing. And really, we saw this happen throughout the whole entire state of Indiana this past weekend. By now, you might have heard that West Washington head coach Philip Bousman passed away last Monday after he suffered an apparent stroke during his team's Class 1A semi-state game against Indianapolis Lutheran. So obviously, that school was a part of a big-time moment where their team was trying to go to a state championship game, and coach goes down on the sideline. You never want to see something like this, and just the terrible news this past Monday when they announced that Bousman had passed away from that stroke. So following his death, what had happened was West Washington Schools and the Bousman family called for all Indiana high schools to turn on their stadium lights from Friday morning until the conclusion of his funeral services on Saturday, and pretty much all of our area schools followed suit with all the other schools throughout the state of Indiana. The four main schools that we follow during the high school football season, Lawrenceburg, South Dearborn, East Central, and Milan, were all among some other southeastern Indiana schools who did turn on their lights to show support to the Bousman family. Coach Ryan Kniga tweeting out a picture of Dick Meter Stadium, the pit there. South Dearborn High School, Ram Ballard tweeting out a photo of the field there at South Dearborn, and the same goes for Jake Miners and Coach Langforman at Milan, excuse me. And so all those schools amongst every school in the state of Indiana gathering together to show their support for the loss of a fellow head coach in high school football. Sad story, but really cool to see some of the folks in our local community getting together on this and really showing some great support for the Bousman family during the trying times that they're going through. And I have a story up about this over at EagleCountryOnline.com, so you can kind of see all that stuff. There's also a link to a GoFundMe page that has been set up for the Bousman family. So if you would like to donate a couple bucks their way to help them with some different things, probably funeral costs, some medical bills, things like that, it could go a long way to helping that family get through certainly a tough time, because this was an unexpected passing of Philip Bousman. And while he didn't have an impact on our community, he did have an impact on a lot of young high schoolers throughout his, I believe, 13 seasons at West Washington. And we revere our coaches here locally. So why not show some support to guys that are doing good things throughout the rest of the state, too? So definitely check out that GoFundMe page if you can. And if you can throw a couple dollars their way, I'm sure it would be very, very appreciated by the Bousman family. So with that, we will move on to high school. We'll stay with high school sports, I should say. And there was plenty of high school basketball going on over the weekend. I want to start in girls basketball because, they're a little bit further along in their season. Of course, the boys just really getting started last week, so we will get to that here momentarily. But I want to start with the Lawrenceburg Tigers because, well, we've talked about it the last couple of weeks on the program. They graduated some players that really contributed to a strong season that they had last year. McKenna White, Justice Chambers, and the list goes on and on. But they have really had some younger girls step up this year, and they are off to a 7-0 start. Their previous two games coming in the EIAC, they took on Franklin County last week, pummeled them 57-18, and then they turned around two nights later and defeated South Dearborn 62-31. Their two latest wins to run that win streak to 7-0. Averaging 51 points on the season are the Lady Tigers, but their defense has been the key to their success so far, allowing just 30 points per game. 40 points is the most that they have given up. Batesville and Scottsburg both putting up 40 points against Lawrenceburg earlier in the season. So getting it done on both sides of the floor. We talk a lot about Juliana Kemper and how good she is. She's a walking double-double. She can also play the point guard, even though she's really a forward, handles the ball well, can get her other teammates involved, and she's had some young girls stepping up this season, some sophomores, junior, Kiara Lowe's the junior. We got the sophomore, Chloe Meyer, just to name a few. Tristan Dennis, not an underclassman, but back from last year's team, providing some good minutes as well. And I can name some more names and go down the list, but you kind of get the gist here. Lawrenceburg is a very good team, yet again, under head coach Zane White, and they're going to have a couple games coming up this weekend. They're going to play host to Richmond, 4A school, so should be a pretty good test for the Lady Tigers on Friday. They're going to have to turn around, and they will travel to Milan to take on the Lady Indians on Saturday. That's a part of a girls-boys doubleheader at Milan. So that's always a lot of fun, and Lawrenceburg's looking to keep this train rolling and just compile wins until they get to the back end of their schedule. They only have a couple more conference games before they get to their last two games of the season at East Central, at Greensburg. Of course, they're going to have to play Rushville on December 21st. That's going to be a huge game in the EIAC, and as I mentioned, that's three road games against the three best teams that they will play within the conference. No disrespect to the other conference teams, but Rushville, East Central, Greensburg, those are the teams you have to run through if you want to win the EIAC, and Lawrenceburg is going to have to beat all those teams on the road. So that is going to be a tall task indeed, but this Tigers team definitely feeling good about themselves after the first seven games undefeated here in Southeast Indiana. And as I mentioned, East Central, I still think they're off to a good start of the season. They lost their last two games. They're now 4-3. And as we mention a lot on the program, myself and JB, we always seem to talk about these East Central teams scheduling up, no matter what program it is, whether it's football, basketball, soccer, volleyball, softball, tennis, it doesn't matter. They're always going to play tough competition, and that's why they have a 4-3 record, because they played some good teams. They lost by 8 points at Heritage Hills. They got beat pretty soundly by Greensburg, and then lost a narrow game to Mount Vernon Fortville. So 4-3 might not seem like the best record, but considering who they've played, they've also got big wins over Columbus East and Richmond, a couple other 3A schools. So East Central's doing fine for themselves early in this season. That Greensburg loss is going to hurt them, though. It was a conference loss, 45-26, back on the 27th. So that's going to set East Central back on one of their goals, which is to win the EIAC. Mentioned it with Lawrenceburg. You know, all those teams may beat up on each other within the season. We're talking East Central, Greensburg, Rushville, Lawrenceburg, the prohibitive favorites on the girls' side of the conference. So East Central is by no means out of it. They're going to need some help, and they're obviously going to have to win big games against Rushville, against Lawrenceburg, and so on. And that's not to take away from teams like Batesville and South Dearborn and Franklin County and Connersville, because you never know on a given Friday, Saturday night, weekday night, one of those teams can sneak up on you and get a win as well. So the EIAC is a good conference, and there's some good teams there that it's going to come down to the wire is basically what I'm saying here. So to kind of round out our coverage group with the EIAC, South Dearborn, likely not going to be in the running for the EIAC championship. They have already lost three conference games, but they've lost to three of the best teams that I've already mentioned several times, and they played them all on the road. They lost at East Central, at Rushville, and at Lawrenceburg. So no shame in losing those games, but for South Dearborn, they've just struggled out of the blocks, 0-8. They're only scoring 33 points per game, and they're giving up almost 65 a game. So until something changes on one end of the floor, doesn't look like South Dearborn's going to win a whole lot of games this year. And that's just to speak bluntly. I mean, no ill will towards South Dearborn. We want to see all their programs do really, really well here. But this season, they just have struggled under second-year coach Doug Robertson. And they do have a chance to get their first win coming up tomorrow night at Rising Sun. That's another team that has not won a game yet this season. They've gotten some good contributions from Maddie Wilson, one of their star players there. So they're a talented team that's struggling to score the ball as well. Under 30 points per game, giving up about 55. So this could be a good opportunity for either one of those teams to get their first win on the season. So that should be a pretty good game tomorrow night. Moving right along, how about the Milan Indians? Where are they at this season? 1-4 so far. They've lost four in a row after a thrilling overtime win to start the season at South Decatur, but they have played a lot of good teams. at Union County, at Hauser, lost at home to Jacksonville, and also just got beat 9 points to New Washington over the weekend. So it's been tough sledding for Milan so far this season, and it's not going to get any easier. Their next two games, tomorrow night at Switzerland County, who is 5-1 on the season, and then they play undefeated Lawrenceburg on Saturday. So a couple tough contests coming up for the Milan Indians. Sienna Bailey has been fantastic this year, though, averaging a double-double. So some good players on that Milan team, maybe still trying to find their identity here this season. Got to get a little bit better defensively, giving up about 55 points a game, but it's still early in the season, and I see some more wins on the schedule for Milan as it comes, but maybe not tomorrow night, because Switzerland County has been on fire here lately. 5-1, they've won four straight, coming off a really good win against North Decatur. It was a defensive battle, won that game 37-35. And, well, Switzerland County is going to look to keep on rolling as they host Milan for an ORVC matchup tomorrow evening. So a big one in terms of standings and what those two teams want to accomplish this season. But Switzerland County looks like they're going to be one of the big-time players in the ORVC. Got Mark Boggs down there, third year at the school. You heard JB talk a little bit about him last week and his knowledge of the game. So he's got his girls playing well early in the season. And one thing I want to say, I can't wait for the Rivertown Classic, because I've been looking at Switzerland County, been looking at Lawrenceburg, and that's looking like maybe it could be a potential championship matchup of two really good teams. Again, no disrespect to Rising Sun and South Dearborn, but just looking at the records and seeing who's played who and who's won certain games, who's lost certain games, you kind of get a good feel for what might be a good matchup. And right now I'm looking at Switzerland County and Lawrenceburg and saying that could be an electric atmosphere on a Friday night at the Rivertown Classic for a girls' championship. Of course, the draw hasn't come out yet. Who knows? They might draw each other for that Wednesday night game, have to play one another to get into the championship, leaving the door open for Rising Sun and South Dearborn to do something special as well. One of my favorite times of the year coming up about a month from today, we'll be down at Rivertown Classic at South Dearborn, as we always are, bringing you all those games in the boys' and girls' tournaments. Speaking of boys' basketball, let's go ahead and transition into boys basketball. And we're really just getting started here in the 2019-2020 season. And we're going to start with South Dearborn, because they're off to a fantastic start. Wins over Rising Sun and Franklin County to start the season. I got a chance to see South Dearborn in person last Tuesday night. Me and Happy Jack calling the game down in Aurora. And man, they came out on fire first quarter against Rising Sun, 17-0. They led at the end of the first period. Give credit to Rising Sun. They got themselves back in the game, a young team this year, but then again give South Dearborn credit for holding off that run and coming away with a 50-40 win to start out the season. I tell you what, one of the best players in the area, Alex Shackelford, if you haven't got a chance to watch him yet for South Dearborn, he's absolutely electric, does some really good things on the offensive side of the ball. He can shoot it, he can get to the basket, and then he's a menace on defense, and he's a ball hawk, a lot of steals, gets out in the open court, and can really run and set up this South Dearborn offense. Reese Willoughby is going to be another kid. You're going to hear his name a lot this year for South Dearborn. Just a sophomore. We've seen how athletic he is. Had a good freshman season for South Dearborn last year. We've also seen him do some special things on the football field. Just a really, really good athlete that can score the basketball, provide some length for him on defense. So I like what I've seen out of Reese Willoughby so far. Eli Hoffman was a kid that really stood out on last Tuesday night. Just a sophomore. Played a big role on the JV team last year and can really score the basketball. He and Alex Shackelford both had 14 points each in that win against Rising Sun. So you can kind of see things building under Kevin Reinhart. He's in his third year at the school. They're only 15-35 under Kevin Reinhart. They went from, I believe, let me check this real quick. I want to make sure that I get these stats right here. They won 5 games his first season and 8 games last season. They've already won 2 this season. And I tell you what, didn't get a chance to talk about this on the broadcast on Tuesday night and kind of regretted it, but I love what Kevin Reinhart has done for South Dearborn High School. I love the culture he is creating with that team. One of my favorite things to see, whether it's the JV team or the varsity team, every time somebody does something well, whether it's getting a steal, getting a rebound, taking a charge, scoring a basket, dishing out a nice assist. Everybody on that team is celebrating and happy for the next guy. They want team success, and that is how you build a program right there. He's got all the kids buying in. He told me before the game that they're a tight-knit group. They hang out together. They enjoy being around each other, and that usually brings out the best in these kids on the basketball floor when they actually get along with one another and they want to see each other do well. I could speak from past experience in high school, and you know, my teammates, if they're listening, this is no disrespect because I was probably part of the problem too, but I don't know that we all got along all that well. Had a lot of talent on the team, but probably didn't win as many games as we should have because maybe there was too many individuals on the team. But I don't see that with South Dearborn. I love the direction they're going in, and they're definitely going to be testing themselves as well. Kevin Reinhart coming from Kentucky, and he's got some Kentucky teams on the schedule. They're going to play at home coming up on the 4th. Then they got Jacksonville at home, at Madison. Then they're going to take on Boone County at home. And then looking a little bit further down the schedule, they're going to play in the Holy Cross Tournament in Kentucky. And then they're going to piggyback that with the Rivertown Classic before they go to Greensburg and play Central. So that's, I know I kind of went long-winded there on their schedule, but I see some wins there. I see some good tests for them that are going to be good learning experiences. But I really, really like the South Dearborn team, and I can't wait to cover them yet again coming up later on this season, likely at the Rivertown Classic, but we'll definitely have more on South Dearborn basketball as the season rolls along. Moving on to East Central. Now, they played Jennings County on the road, and well, they might get used to the bus trips early on in the season. Their first four games on the road, 74-71 loss against Jennings County to start out the season. A couple of kids that played really well in this game in terms of scoring the basketball. Trevor Becker, senior, 21 points, super athletic. I like to see him get out in the open court because he can slam them. Logan Rohrbacher, well, he could probably slam them too, 17 points in that game. And then Luke Collinsworth was a little bit quiet in this game, but he's going to have a big season. So this East Central team's got a lot of talent. Just ran into a good team that was better on November 30th, and Jennings County got the three-point victory. But as I mentioned, East Central on the road. Their first four games will be at Milan this Friday, at Richmond on Saturday, and then next week they'll be at Ross over in Ohio. So they're scheduling up as well. I see Cincinnati LaSalle on their schedule, Mount Vernon Posey, Boone County, Kentucky. A lot of different teams that you don't see others play here in Southeast Indiana, but David Disbrow has been at this a long time, 21 years at the school. He's got way more wins than he does losses, a lot against me when I was in high school, and he will always have his boys ready to play. Whether they come out a winner or loser, they're always prepared, always talented, and there's going to be a lot of wins on this schedule, but look out for those Milan Indians. That is going to be an intriguing game on Friday. I love this Milan team as well. We've always talked about Peyton Wirt, Carson Asherman, and Adam Norman. That's kind of their big three there, similar to East Central with Collinsworth, Becker, and Rohrbacher. So a lot of talent there. They got good supporting players. So this could be a really, really fun matchup coming up this Friday at Milan. And I could see it going either way because Milan's coming off a big-time win over Franklin County to start the season, 73-48. Milan plays faster than just about anybody in the area. South Dearborn's another team that gets up and down the floor and wants to score a lot of points on you, get a lot of possessions. I love watching that brand of basketball, and I think Milan's got the goods to actually pull it off. A lot of talent there, as I said, so that should be a good matchup coming up on Friday. How about Switzerland County moving on to them, 1-0 on the season after a 62-50 win over Austin, and they do bring back some players, Patrick Stowe, Damian Breek in the backcourt, so they got some stability in the backcourt. Breek's a really, really good player, definitely a big-time scorer, and this has got a chance to be a good season for Switzerland County as well. It was a little bit of a rebuild last year under Adam Dennis. They lost some good seniors coming into last season, so now that they're a little bit more veteran team, they got kids that got some experience at the varsity level last year, so that should make for a smooth transition coming into this season, and they should be well prepared to win some big games here in the 2019 season. They will play two games this weekend as well. They will host Trimble County on Friday, and then they're at Crothersville on Saturday. So and then they got the big one coming up on December 13th, taking on Rising Sun, ruler of the river. They will play twice in a regular season. Not sure exactly which game they will have the trophy up for grabs, or maybe you got to win both of them. I'll have to check on that, but that's always fun. Speaking of Rising Sun, off to a little bit of a tough start under second-year coach Rick Scholl. Of course, we talked about their 50-40 loss to South Dearborn opening contest of the year. Also lost 49-35 to South Ripley on the 30th, but two pretty good teams that they lost to, and a lot of youth on this Rising Sun team. Their leading scorers coming back from last year, Landon Cole and TJ Manifold, both averaged about 4 or 5 points a game as role players last year. They're going to be asked to step into more of a star spotlight. A couple kids that I thought played really good against South Dearborn was freshman Peyton Merica and junior Chase Keene. Those two looked really good, handling the ball, getting to the basket, scoring for the Shiners, giving them some scoring punch. So I think as this team kind of grows together, gets some more experience at the varsity level, they're going to be able to do some nice things. And maybe they're a year away from doing some really nice things. Maybe getting another Rivertown Classic Championship, winning conference, challenging for a sectional. There is a lot of talent on that team. They just haven't had the experience yet at the varsity level to maybe warrant big-time expectations this season. But Rick Scholl, I like the brand of basketball he plays with that Rising Sun team. More of a slow-it-down, grind-it-out type offense. But definitely got some guys that are going to grow into being star players this season. Looking forward to seeing what they can do the rest of the way. And I know I haven't mentioned Lawrenceburg yet, and that's because, well, they haven't played a game yet, and that's because of the success of their football team. They were due to start the season on Tuesday night, this past Tuesday night, against Switzerland County, but that game was pushed back. Due to the success of the football team, wanted to give them ample time to get with the team and practice and be ready for the season. So they're going to start it up on Tuesday night against Franklin County. We've already seen them lose big to a couple teams. Those teams being Milan and South Dearborn, teams that can really get up and down the floor and score on you. And I expect Lawrenceburg to be pretty good this year. They returned Gavin Yoon, who perhaps is the best basketball player in Southeast Indiana. He's a walking bucket, should average about 20 points a game, if not more. Got plenty of colleges looking at him. We'll certainly look into that more as the season goes on. He hasn't committed anywhere yet that I know of. His younger brother, Garrett, a really good defender, can play point guard, the ball out and get it to a lot of different guys. They also have Mitch McCool back there at guard, so good ball handlers, which should limit turnovers. And they also have some size this year. I do want to mention Daya Patel will play guard for them as well, a talented athlete. But then down low, they got some big guys as well. Returning Braden York, you got Ashton Craig, Jackson Bobo, and Kamar Chenault. So they got four guys that they can rotate in there underneath, get some rebounds, provide some inside scoring. I forgot to mention Adam Bird. He's a kid that can really score coming off the bench. A nice three-point shot, athletic, can get to the basket as well. So a lot of talent on this Tigers team. We'll see how JB actually handles it there as the head coach, because he's got a lot of different players that he can get in the game and work into the rotation. But should be a good season for Lawrenceburg. And as I mentioned, they will open up at home against Franklin County on Tuesday, and then they're off to Milan on Saturday for that girls-boys doubleheader. That should be a really good game there in Milan. We've already talked about their team and how good they are and how good they can be. And if Lawrenceburg turns out to be as good as I think they're going to be, that could be an excellent early season matchup. Should be a lot of good high school basketball here in the area this 2019-2020 season, and we'll do our best to bring you as many games as we possibly can here on Eagle Country 99.3. It is Crunch Time with JB and Double T. JB absent tonight, maybe because the Colts lost a big game on Sunday to the Tennessee Titans. And we're kind of running out of time here, so I want to be as brief as possible on the Colts and Bengals games from over the weekend. But the Colts lost to the Texans 31-17. They're now 6-6 on the season. Two games back of the Houston Texans in the AFC South after the Texans manhandled the Patriots last night. Don't know if anybody saw that coming, but a devastating loss for the Colts nonetheless. Still just a game out of the wild card behind the teams like the Steelers and the Titans. There's a lot of teams up there battling for that wild card spot, though, so a lot has to happen for the Colts to get into the playoffs. And man, it's been the kicking game all season long. That, along with some injuries that have plagued the Colts, that's kind of been their downfall this season. They had a kick blocked yesterday, went back for a touchdown. I know Vinatieri at least missed one other. I didn't watch the full game, but at least caught the highlights to know what was going on. And the kicking game seems to be one of the big issues with the Colts. But they got games coming up against Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Jacksonville, and who else am I missing in that bunch? There's one other team, the Panthers. That's who it is. So based on the way they've played the last few weeks, I don't know that there's a guaranteed win left on the Colts schedule. We're certainly rooting for them to make the playoffs. I just think it's so much of an uphill battle that they don't have a realistic shot of actually making it this season. So I know Colts fans probably hate to hear me say it, but I think their season has come to an end with that devastating loss to the Titans yesterday. How about the Bengals, though? They got a win yesterday, their first of the season, now 1-11 after a 22-6 win over the New York Jets. The defense dominated this game. Carlos Dunlap, Sam Hubbard, Geno Atkins lived in the backfield, made it a nightmare game for Sam Darnold. And then Andy Dalton played very strong on the offensive side of the ball. Maybe the completion percentage could have been a little bit better, but 22 of 37 for 243 yards and a touchdown. No interceptions. Spread the ball around. Auden Tate, Tyler Boyd, C.J. Uzomah, Joe Mixon all made big catches to move the chains and or get in the end zone. So I thought Andy Dalton played really inspired brand of football after sitting out the last three games watching rookie Ryan Finley basically stink up the joint. And I said it last week. They've played behind the same offensive line this season, and Andy Dalton is a far better quarterback than Ryan Finley. And it's kind of unfair to say a little bit because Ryan Finley's only three games into his NFL career, and Andy Dalton's in, what, year eight or whatever it is. So Andy Dalton should be better than him, but he played really well yesterday and helped him get that first win of the season. And Andy said it was a big relief.
You're going each week, you're doing everything you can to win, and for it to finally pay off, obviously we wish it would have happened earlier, but for it to finally pay off, get our first win of the season, get Zach his first win of his coaching career, all that kind of stuff, it's a big relief.
It's a big relief to Bengals fans as well, yearning for a win this season. And a cool moment in the locker room after the game, Andy Dalton setting the franchise record for TD passes, passing Ken Anderson, received a game ball from Coach Zach Taylor, and Andy Dalton turned around and gave Coach Taylor a game ball as well, getting his first win as a head coach in the NFL. He also got the Gatorade bath on the field from the players before the coach's handshake there at midfield. So you got to be happy for Zach Taylor. Maybe not the best season ever in Bengals history, but he certainly brings a certain attitude to the team. He carries himself really well and has a great energy, and I think it rubs off on the team as well. So I do see some positives. Their defense is playing really well. You got Andy back in there, who's at least a decent quarterback. They got some playmakers. They're starting to get a little bit more healthy. John Ross should be back this weekend against Cleveland. I would not expect to see A.J. Green the rest of the season. And Coach Taylor also saying today that Jonah Williams is not expected to play, the first-round tackle from Alabama. Some media members bringing it up that maybe he could get in a game or two before the season's over, but Taylor not seeing much merit in that. So finally a positive coming out from the Bengals camp, finally winning a game this season. Glad to see it. They'll take on Cleveland this week. They got the Patriots coming up. They're going to play Miami. Could be another win there, although they're playing decent. And then they finish the season with Cleveland. So maybe a win or two left for the Bengals. And wouldn't it be something if they were able to shock the Patriots at home 2 weeks from now and kind of shake up the AFC standings a little bit and who maybe gets those byes going into the playoffs? I wouldn't bet on it, but it might be fun to think about it. And sticking with Cincinnati sports, one more thing to get to, just a couple more minutes left in the program. The Reds, well, they haven't made it official, but reports suggesting that the Reds are going to sign second baseman Mike Moustakas to a four-year deal worth $64 million. If you're not familiar with Mike Moustakas, he spent last year with the Milwaukee Brewers, hit 35 home runs. Since 2017, he's hit 101 home runs, which would make him one of the best power-hitting second basemen. Of course, he switched positions from third to second because that's just the way it works sometimes in baseball. Somebody's better than you at a different position, and you find your way somewhere else. But prior to being in Milwaukee, he won a World Series in Kansas City. They did trade him away, not because they wanted to, but because they needed to just to kind of get a rebuild going there in Kansas City, small market team. So it does appear that the Reds are going to bolster their lineup with Mike Moustakas, also known as Moose, left-handed hitter who should hit a lot of home runs at Great American Ballpark, especially if you wedge him in somewhere in the lineup between Votto, Aristides Aquino, Eugenio Suarez, Nick Senzel. Reds got a lineup now. If they can stay healthy, add to their pitching staff a little bit, add to their bullpen, and maybe get one more outfield bat. They're looking at Marcell Ozuna maybe from the Cardinals, a free agent, Adam Eaton, a free agent from the defending champion Washington Nationals, and Corey Dickerson, who Reds fans are familiar with, playing in Pittsburgh last year, could be an option out there too. So exciting times for the Reds. They're really going for it and spending some money, making trades when they have to, and they want to put a good brand of baseball out there on the field. So potential big signing there with Mike Moustakas coming to town to be the new second baseman of the Cincinnati Reds. That's all the time we got for you tonight. Thanks for listening to Crunch Time with JB and Double T right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.